Invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians and the fourth chapter. Where are the happiest people on earth? Well, Norway, according to the 2017 World Happiness Report. The report is formed based on a number of factors: freedom, generosity, health, social support, income, and trustworthy governance. Where is Canada? Not too bad, number 7 out of 155 countries. Sounds like a pretty happy place. And earlier this year as well, Canada was named the second best country in the world. Again, a survey, annual survey done by the U.S. News and World Report magazine shows Canada narrowly missed the top spot, being edged out by Switzerland. Criteria included economic influence, citizenship, and quality of life. So you would think that people in Canada are generally happy. But that's simply not the case. An Ipsos poll reported this year that 41% of 41% of Canadians said of themselves that they are at high risk for mental illness. 41% said of themselves that they are at high risk for mental illness. 24% said that there were several instances in which Canadians felt stressed to the point where they couldn't even cope. 19% said they felt depressed to the point where they felt sad or hopeless almost every day for a couple of weeks or more. And 7% said they seriously considered suicide or self-harm more than once in the past year. Millennials are the hardest hit, those adults who are younger than me. A whopping 63% said that they are in the high-risk category for mental illness. 63%. Generation X, those who are my age and older to some bracket, okay, 41% of these are saying of themselves that they are in the high-risk category for mental illness, and 24% of the baby boomers. Okay, seventh happiest country on the planet, and those are your statistics. If Canadians are some of the most happiest people on the planet is wallowing in misery. But of course, everybody wants happiness. But what I'd like to point out is that the world's happiness, as we just saw, is based on circumstances. Okay, they admit it. The World Happiness Report is based on, remember, freedom, generosity, health, social support, income, and trustworthy governance. And as human beings, we can sympathize with that. Imagine having an actually totally corrupt government like North Korea and trying to find happiness even as a Christian in that country. That'd be hard. That'd be difficult. But at the same time, as Christians, our joy is not in circumstances. Our joy is to be in the Lord. Let's read Philippians 4, and we're just going to read the fourth verse this morning. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And the focus of that fourth verse is to persistently pursue joy in Jesus. persistently pursue joy in Jesus. And to preach on this single verse this morning is necessary because joy is a major focus in the book of Philippians. The words themselves, joy or rejoicing, are used no less than 16 times in this letter to the Philippians. So joy is really the major theme in the book. Beginning in verse 1 now, in chapter 4, starting in verse 1, we're in a section on standing firm in the Lord. Let's read Philippians 4, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." Well, in what ways are we to stand firm in the Lord? Or we could ask, what is a strong Christian? To stand firm, that strength. First, a strong Christian is one who lives in harmony with other Christians. We saw that last time, verses 2 and 3. Also, to stand firm in the Lord or to be a strong Christian is going to take, as our topic is this morning, rejoicing in the Lord. It's also going to take, verse 5, letting your gentleness work itself out in your life. Being a strong Christian, to stand firm in the Lord, is going to take, verses 6 to 8, a kind of prayer that relieves anxiety. And then verses 8 and 9, it's going to take a proper thought life. A strong Christian will have a proper thought life that will produce in him the peace of God by the Holy Spirit. That's what it takes to be a strong Christian. And this morning, we're discussing rejoicing in the Lord. And so I'm preaching this morning that we persistently pursue joy in Jesus. And that's not easy. It takes a tenacity. It takes a strong pursuit. A pursuit of Christ to grow in this area of rejoicing in the Lord always. And I know that you are up for that challenge. So first, the command to rejoice. Second, this morning, we're going to talk about the time to rejoice always. And third, the person of our rejoicing, which is Jesus. And the conclusion of the message, we're going to talk about how to do it. Okay, so first, the command to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. That is a command. That is something that we are to obey as Christians. And to understand what we are to do, we first need to understand what this is not talking about. What Christian rejoicing then is not. Christian rejoicing is not making sure that your life is best suited for happiness. Christian rejoicing is not, as, say, the world counsels, it's not making more time for yourself so that you can get into more of a positive frame of mind. It's not nurturing relationships, important as that might be. It's not setting goals for yourself or learning to relax more. Or it's not learning to say no to things on your schedule. Christian rejoicing is not taking risks for pleasure's sake or learning to live in the present or simply learning how to turn off your cell phone or how to get outside more, to find your strengths or to maybe treat yourself to something special. Make yourself happy that way. That's not Christian rejoicing. Although they may be good things, it is not rejoicing in the Lord. Also, Christian rejoicing is not choosing to be happy even when life stinks. It's not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, taking the right medications, or slapping on a plastic smile after you've had an argument on the way to church. It's not, as the world counsels, fake it until you make it. At any time, or when somebody that we love is in trouble. So you can't just whistle the tune, don't worry, be happy, to make us feel better and think that this is what pleases the Lord. You know that tune? Robin Williams, the famous actor, starred in the music video of that a cappella song. Don't worry, be happy. And he committed suicide. So the world's counsel on that point obviously doesn't work. Christian rejoicing is not every cloud has a silver lining or that difficult times always lead to better days. Christian rejoicing is not, oh, just look on the bright side, will you? Or you need to have your cup half full or having that more positive outlook. That is not Christian rejoicing. And let me point out as well, it's not that this call to rejoice doesn't allow you to weep. You remember Jesus wept over Lazarus. Paul was shipwrecked and had weaknesses, insults, distresses. He was persecuted, many difficulties in his life. Paul even says back in chapter 1 and verse, or back in chapter 3, verse 18, he says, for many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, I tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. He's weeping. And we are commanded in Romans 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So we can mourn and weep. Christian rejoicing allows for weeping. Christian rejoicing as well does not require us to abandon good things. We enjoy good things. A good job, friends, family, church life, little things we do to relax or whatever. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, Paul writes to Timothy and says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but, he says, instruct the rich to fix their hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. So we are to enjoy the things that he has given to us. But just to enjoy things isn't by itself Christian rejoicing. So Christian rejoicing is not making sure your life is best suited for happiness. It's not choosing to be happy even when life stinks. Christian rejoicing does not mean we can't weep, and it doesn't require us that we give up truly good things. So, what is it? Christian joy or rejoicing is a happy affection. It is a happy affection produced by the Holy Spirit when the Christian is satisfied in the Lord. It's a happy affection produced by the Holy Spirit when a Christian is satisfied in the Lord. And that we have that happy affection produced by the Holy Spirit is commanded. You are commanded to have that happy affection produced by the Holy Spirit. We should do that. And so that means that this is very important. This isn't the only epistle in which Paul commands the church to rejoice. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete, be comforted. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always. This is very important. And so it's commanded, and so it's not optional. You don't have an option on this. It is as serious a sin as violating one of the Ten Commandments. It's not that you have the, option of gloomily going along in your Christian life. The Christian life is characterized by joy. Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is produced by the Holy Spirit in the heart of someone who trusts in Jesus. You were, if you've trusted Jesus, and you have turned from your sin, and God has saved you from your sin, you were born again to enjoy Him. And you really want this. You want this joy. Christian joy really is that revived spirit that we have all longed for. And it's not optional. It's central to the believer's life in the gospel. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and so joy is an evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You must have this. In fact, Christians in the first century were characteristically joyful. Acts 13, verse 52 says, "And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." So joy is not optional. It is the will of God for you. You must have it. And as you exhibit this joy, you will glorify the Lord. To obey God glorifies Him. Your lack of joy, therefore, does not glorify Him. So joy is not optional. You must rejoice in the Lord always. So take courage then. Joy is possible. It is possible for you. With all the misery going on in the world, and for whatever reason, Canadians are so, 41% in the high-risk category, they say, of mental illness. Okay, with all the misery in the world, real God-given joy is possible. And one reason it is commanded is, because it does glorify God. It puts on display the glory of God. Deuteronomy 26, verse 11 says, You shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord, in all the good which the Lord your God has given you. You shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you. God is the giver of all those good things, and He is the giver of His own commands. And those commands that He has given to you are good. He commands your joy. That's good. And it glorifies God. But joy is also for your own profit. What a joy to be told to rejoice. So rejoice. If you think that you are allowed to go through life with a gloomy heart, you are totally wrong. So I urge you to set it in your heart at once. You throw away any allowance for depression. You throw away that as if you had the right to be depressed. You don't. You only have the right to rejoice. That's your only right in Jesus. Your right is to joy. And no, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. But obedience takes a hold of that command and says, I will rejoice. And so to obey is to receive this. And to receive this joy, however, is going to take a persistence. It's going to take a tenacity, a relentless pursuit. To rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Secondly, this morning is the timing. So we are commanded to rejoice. Now the timing. When are we to be rejoicing? Always. Rejoice always. Christian rejoicing, therefore, is not based on circumstances. It's not based on what's going on in your life. You remember who it is who has written this? It's Paul. Do you remember where he is when he's writing this? He's in jail. He's writing as well to Philippians, and they aren't exactly having the easiest time either. Philippians 1, verses 28 to 30 informs us that the Philippians are tempted to be alarmed by their opponents. They have opponents, people who are against them. It says in that passage that they are suffering, and that they are going through conflicts. He's commanding them to rejoice always, even in those conflicts. You know, it's really easy to be happy when life is good, going your way. But that's not Christian rejoicing, per se. Christian rejoicing is a happy affection produced by the Holy Spirit when a Christian is satisfied in the Lord. That's rejoicing, Christian rejoicing. It's not necessarily being satisfied with your circumstances. So there ought not to be a circumstance, in which a Christian cannot rejoice in the Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord always. What about when we're in a trial and some testing and some difficult time, though? What about when we're going through some, really low valley? James 1, verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You can consider it joy then too. Well, but you don't understand, I have so much pressure in my life, I'm suffering. Well, Romans 5, 3 then, and he says, not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, we exalt in our sufferings, knowing that suffering brings about perseverance. So, and you can rejoice even when you're suffering. Listen to Paul, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. He says that he is sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Profound. He says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, he says, I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all of our affliction. He's overflowing with joy even during a time of affliction. Joy in affliction, even in pain and suffering, then, you too can have joy. And you want to know how? And that's coming. So hang on. Just know for now that joy is going to take a persistence, a tenacity, a relentless pursuit. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Though the fig tree should not blossom, Habakkuk 3:17 and 18 says, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food. Think that could happen? Though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord, and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. In the God of my salvation, I will rejoice. Even in suffering and in tremendous loss, I will rejoice in my God who saves me from sin, who saves me unto himself, who saves me, who redeems me, who gives me glory in my soul. It takes a persistence. It takes relentless pursuit. And speaking of joy and suffering, it's your joy that will sustain you in your suffering. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, Paul says to these believers, he says, you receive the word, you receive the gospel of Jesus, the good news that saves from sin. You receive that word in much suffering with the joy of the Holy Spirit. They received it while they were suffering, but with joy of the Holy Spirit. You can have joy when suffering. So therefore, joy and rejoicing, not based on circumstances, but joy is based on then something completely different. It is based on the one who never changes. You can rejoice always because Jesus always is. So thirdly this morning, the person of our rejoicing, Christian rejoicing, is based on a relationship. We are creatures of relationships. Usually when people have regrets on their deathbeds, it isn't that they wish that they had made more money as they look back over their life. It's not that they wish that they had accomplished this or done that. It's usually that they had spent more time with their families. Relational. We are relational creatures. So our rejoicing then naturally is in a person. And because God created us, and because Jesus truly is the Lord, our rejoicing is to be in Him. In Him, rejoicing in Him. You know, everything a Christian does is in Jesus. The Bible says that we receive other Christians in the Lord, that we greet them in the Lord, that we are to glory in the Lord, that we are to marry in the Lord. Other Christians can be our work in the Lord. Our work in the Lord, it says, is not in vain. We are to obey our parents in the Lord, to be strong in the Lord. Wives submit to their husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Everything a Christian does then is in the Lord. It's in that sphere, it's in that circle. We're not to go outside of that boundary. So our rejoicing is to be in the Lord. So we're not to find our joy outside of that which pleases the Lord. If you're rejoicing in something this morning that does not please the Lord, that is out of bounds. We are to rejoice in the Lord. But our hearts, your heart is so incredibly deceptive. You know, there is a beautiful shrub. It's called the borrachero. It grows in Colombia, and it produces a chemical so toxic that if ingested, it puts its victims into a zombie-like state. Totally conscious, looking very normal, yet under a sort of hypnosis. It leaves the victims powerless to recall events and makes them open to suggestion, eliminating their willpower. And it's used in the most devious of ways, as you could imagine. And I fear that the so-called entertainments and the ambitions of this world have so captivated you that you lose sense of what really is real, and that you might be drugged to the point of spiritual death. As it says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." So make sure that your rejoicing is in bounds, that it is in the Lord, and that you are not rejoicing in something that is out of bounds, that is something that He is displeased with. We are to rejoice in what He rejoices in, His will, His desires, His goodness to us. Even the things we enjoy, we should enjoy them as we rejoice in the Lord. What good thing can we enjoy that we can't be thankful to the Lord for? Right? Remember Deuteronomy 26:11, you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you. And you rejoice in those good things and you thank the Lord for them. But all this isn't easy. It takes a persistence, a tenacity. You can't get all wrapped up in all the world's happinesses and all the world's stuff and think that, you know, you're going to have joy in the Lord as well. God gives good things and you're to enjoy them. But to live for this world, that's a deceptive line and you're going to fall into many a trap. The Lord, then, is the boundary of our rejoicing. We rejoice in Him. But as well, to rejoice in Him would mean that we rejoice in Him as a person. He Himself is our joy. We rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You think of the Son and what Jesus Christ has done for us. Jesus' death and resurrection is a cause for great joy. That first Christmas morning, Luke 2, verse 10, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the peoples." Jesus is a cause for great joy. We too easily lose the preciousness of the gospel from day to day and week to week. We fail to understand Matthew 13:44, that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. And then he hid it again, that treasure, in that field. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. We fail to understand that. But Christians are to have joy in Jesus. We shouldn't lose that. Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard the gospel, that first time when they heard the gospel, it says they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. There is joy in Jesus, continual joy in Jesus, rejoicing always in Him. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Do you know what that's like? To have that joy in your heart that is, oh, just inexpressible. Joy in Jesus is your duty. It's your duty and it is your delight as a follower of Jesus. And to rejoice in the Lord, that's not a difficult concept. Delight yourself in Him. Make Him your delight. If I were to have you over for a meal and my wife made her pork roast and her homemade steak sauce, and I put that in front of you and I say, "Delight yourself in this," and you would taste and you would see that it's good. But it takes you tasting it, doesn't it? Or if I put before you some wonderful chocolate cake with just the right amount of icing, maybe some sprinkles on top, and your favorite ice cream, you would delight yourself in that. You would rejoice in that. But it takes a tasting it, doesn't it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Sit down for a while. Meditate on Him. Taste and see. Rejoice in Him. When I tell the kids this year, during our summer Bible camp, that there is candy in that bucket of candy happiness, they're going to want to figure out how to go into that bucket and get the opportunity to stick their paws in that thing. I mean, they're going to that bucket. Okay? We go to the Lord. You need to go to Him. Go to Him. There is joy in Him. Rejoice in Him. There is joy there. This isn't rocket science. Okay? You know, the Holy Spirit has taught you this. You know what to do with this. Let's go over to Ephesians 1. Go over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 3, gives us great cause for rejoicing. Ephesians 1, verse 3 tells us, and throughout Ephesians 1, tells us that God the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing you have been blessed with. Is that enough for you? Right? Okay. Verse 4. He chose us, for example. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5. He predestined us to adoption as sons. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins. Verse 9, He made known to us the mystery of His will regarding the future of Christ. Verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance, an everlasting inheritance. And upon trusting in Him, verse 13 says, we were sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit, who, verse 14, is the pledge, the down payment of that very inheritance. What joys there are in Jesus. Blessing, every spiritual blessing. Getting to know them is a cause for great rejoicing. So feel yourself this morning to be greatly commanded. Feel yourself commanded to delight in the Lord Jesus, who has accomplished all of these things for you. He has died for your sins. He was raised for your righteous standing before God. He's gone on to glory at the Father's right hand, ever living now to make intercession for you. He reigns over all the world. And He is looking forward to that day when He will take you to glory and you reign with Him forever and ever. The depths of that joy, no mortal has ever plunged. But if you would but wade as an infant on the surface of that, you would have joy inexpressible and full of glory. So consider this then, the greatest activity of your heart every day is to aspire to be happy in Jesus. The greatest activity. George Mueller, that great prayer warrior of yesteryear, said, quote, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not, he says, how much I might serve the Lord, how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man may be nourished. I saw that the most important thing I had to do, and here's a how-to. You want a how-to? Here's one. I saw the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation on it, to think through it. For me, personally, before I came to Christ, I remember sitting in a church service. And I distinctly remember that when the Bible was being preached, I was profoundly impacted with this very thought, that what is in the Bible can satisfy me. what is in, whatever is in this Bible can truly satisfy me. You say, well, you know, Paul here with his, you know, telling me to rejoice always. I mean, Paul is just so way out of my league. I can't see how I could ever have true joy like what is discussed this morning. Well, Paul knows, however, that you can have that. And so to any objector who would even think of objecting to that, he says, no, again, I say, rejoice. I will say that again, rejoice. So don't you think that to repeat that command was meant to seize our attention? Don't you think? Let your soul awaken to this. There is no exaggeration with this. You can do this. You can have that happy, joyful heart every day in Jesus. So come on. Come on, you brother. Come on, you sister. We are invited to a daily feast. A daily feast of the soul in every circumstance. A feast that will give strength to our hearts. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say it again, rejoice. C.S. Lewis said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. He writes, we are half-hearted creatures. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Lewis says we are like an ignorant child. We're like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum, the dirty part of town. We go on making mud pies in a slum because an ignorant child, because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. He says we are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased. It takes but little for our own sake to think, you know, well, I'm happy in this. When we could have an abundance from God and from the Lord Jesus, we're far too easily satisfied with the husks of this world when there is the feast in the Lord every day. You have weak desires. You are too easily satisfied and content with lesser things. So demand the best. Jesus commands you to demand the best. Rejoice in the Lord always. You are demanded to demand the best. So look, you are finding your joy somewhere. But making your joy the Lord, making your joy the Lord is going to take a tenacity. It's going to take some work. No gold miner assumes he'll get the gold while just sitting on his shovel. No athlete will ever consider himself to, he'll never think that he'll win the medal if he simply sits on the sidelines. It takes some work. So to be happy in Jesus every day is going to take you meditating on the Bible and prayer. Okay, very simple. Your meditation on the Word of God, and it's going to take prayer. But you have to be hungry for it. You have to lift up your voice for understanding. And it's then that you'll be able to discover the soul-satisfying power of the fear of God, as Proverbs 2 talks about. John 16:24, Jesus says, ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. Okay, that's prayer. Prayer is God's source for joy. The word of God is also, Jesus says, John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. That's the word of God, what he has spoken to you. And he has given that to you, why? So that your joy may be made full. So read the Bible and pray. It's very simple. Meditate on what Jesus says. Talk to Jesus about what he says. Feed your soul with the scripture. And ask him for help to obey that command. Lord, help me to rejoice always. I want to do that. I want to have that joy that is so refreshing and can help me and strengthen me. Lord, give that to me. I'm hungry for it. Please give it to me. Lord, I'm lifting up my voice for it. Okay, that kind of thing. So feed your soul in his word and thirst for him and long for him. And do so every day until he takes you up into glory. Until then, brother, rejoice. If you're suffering, you know that this life is but a vapor. And it lasts but a short time. And it won't be long. And you'll exchange those seats for seats of glory. From suffering to eternal bliss. And so know this deeply. Know the glories of God deeply. Know his gospel deeply. Know his word deeply. Know him deeply. And rejoice in him. Brothers and sisters, you rejoice. You go from here this morning and you be persistent on this. Paul is tenacious with us. We ought to be tenacious with this very command. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. So let's persistently pursue joy in Jesus. And we have a hymn that is speaking to this in number 9. Jesus is the joy of loving hearts. I'd like to touch on that first stanza. Jesus, it says, Jesus, you joy of loving hearts, you fount of life, you light of men, from or away from the best bliss that earth imparts. I'm away from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to you again. So the things of this world will never satisfy. We turn unfilled from those things to the Lord Jesus. Jesus alone has the power to satisfy your heart. Until you believe that, and until you act on that, you will be miserable. So are you determined this morning? Are you determined to find your joy in Jesus? Do you know for sure that the things of this world will never truly satisfy you? Okay, set that in your heart as truth. The word of God is true. And until you find your joy in the Lord, when you do, you will have joy unspeakable. And when the Lord is your joy, you will have strength in trial. So let's stand, let's sing this together with joy in our hearts. Number 9.
Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. Thy truth unchanged hath ever stood, thou savest those that on thee call. To them that seek thee thou art good, to them that find thee all in all. We taste thee, O thou living bread, and long to feast upon thee still. We drink fountainhead, and thirst our souls from thee to fill. Our restless spirits yearn for thee, where'er our changeful lot is cast, glad when thy gracious smile we see, blessed when our faith can hold thee fast. O Jesus, ever with us stay, make all our moments calm and bright, chase the dark night of sin away, shed o'er the world thy holy light.
Our gracious Father, thank you for your gracious word today. Thank you for your good commands, and that here today you've commanded us to have joy. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for our joylessness when we know that Jesus is our true joy. We ask our Father that you would help us to grow in this. We pray that we would know Jesus is the fountain of life. Father, we ask that we would taste of you, taste of your word, that we would long for you and yearn for you, that we would drink of the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Thirst, may our thirsty souls be quenched in the word and in prayer in you, our Heavenly Father, and in your Son, our Savior. So, Father, we ask that in trial or in suffering, that we would be a people filled with your Spirit that knows what it is to find joy in suffering. That we would not be like this world, whose happiness is so rooted in the circumstances of this life. And we ask that our joy would only be found in you. Thank you for the good things that you've given us. Help us to enjoy them and to enjoy them in you, to give you praise, to give you glory. So, Father, we ask that you would chase away this sin of joylessness and help us to relentlessly pursue and to demand joy in our Savior. May your word and may our fellowship with you use this week, we pray. Help us in every feeble attempt. Encourage us in every weak attempt to find our joy in you, and teach us this week, we pray. Help us to know that there is joy in you. And may we go forward with that strength, spreading the joy of Jesus to others. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. We're dismissed.